Tribes, Chapter 10. Salam led Kevin behind one of the derelict shops in the old shopping precinct. They walked up an alley scattered with papers and broken bottles. Doors were covered with metal to stop vandals from getting inside, but they had reckoned without the ingenuity of the gangs around here, or one of them, the tribe. "I hope they never knock these old shops down," Salam said. "This is our place." And with that, he swung one of the metal doors across and stepped inside. They were all waiting. Tonight, all of the tribe were there, standing, sitting, crouching on upturned boxes or on old chairs. The shop wasn't dark. It was lit by the eerie glow from candles, which were placed all around the shop floor. It reminded Kevin of church. "What are we here for?" For one awful moment, he thought that yet another initiation test was involved. "The Oath of Allegiance. What else?" Salam said. Kevin laughed. "Oh, come on, you're not serious. You expect me to take an oath?" "It's nothing," Salam assured him. "It's the final ritual. Then you really are one of us." This was stupid. Kevin knew it was stupid, but he said nothing. He let them gather around him, there in the candlelight. "So what do I say?" he asked at last. Salam's voice was solemn. He took a scroll, covered with dark stains, from his inside pocket and began reading. "Repeat after me. I, Kevin Davidson, do solemnly swear, to be a true and faithful member of the tribe." Kevin repeated everything after Salam. Part of him wanted to laugh, but there was also a part that was impressed by the atmosphere, by the candlelight, by the serious faces all around him. "I will never disclose any of the tribe's secrets. I will never betray another member of the tribe. And if I do, may my heart be ripped out and I be haunted for the rest of my life by ghosts and demons." "Is that it?" Kevin said when he had finished. "No." Doc stepped from the gloom in a far corner. "Now you sign it in blood." Kevin hesitated. "My blood? Well, it better not be mine." This was Torrey, and it made everyone in the dark shop laugh, except Kevin. He didn't like the idea of this blood at all. "We've all done it," Salam reassured him, "and lived to tell the tale." Except Stash. Suddenly, Salam produced a knife from his pocket. Kevin took a step back, but Doc was there behind him. "Don't be scared, Kevy boy. One little nip and it'll all be over." Doc grabbed his hand and held it out. Kevin struggled. Salam looked into his eyes. "I'm only going to cut your palm and let the blood drip on this." This was the scroll he had been reading from. Now Kevin understood the stains. They were blood too. The blood of every other member of the tribe. Kevin held his breath. He'd walked the walk of death. One little cut would be nothing to him. He tensed as Salam came closer and the blade of the knife gleamed in the candlelight. Kevin closed his eyes. Pain seared into him as the knife cut into his flesh. Only then did he open his eyes. Salam held the scroll under his hand and Kevin watched as the blood dripped, drop by drop, onto the paper. And then, in the gloom, the chant began again. More eerie this time. "The tribe, the tribe, the tribe." And finally, the howl. Even Kevin howled. Suddenly, Torrey yelled at the top of his voice, "Let's party!" And they did. Music erupted from someone's radio. They danced and they jumped and they sang. They told crazy jokes. And Kevin laughed so much he thought his sides would burst. Jokes he'd heard 100 times before sounded fresh and new and even funnier. He had a feeling he couldn't explain to anyone, a feeling of belonging. It was the best night he had ever had. It was late when he got home. He hadn't told anyone he wouldn't be in, and he fully expected a lecture from his parents. He was surprised when he didn't get one. Glory pulled him into the living room. "Okay, where were you?" She had her hands on her hips and sounded exactly like his mother. "They think you were with Tommy, stayed at his house for tea, but don't tell me you were there. I know different." "Who do you think you're talking to?" Kevin tried to walk out of the room, but Glory pulled him back. "You let Tommy go to the dentist by himself. You know he was relying on you. You're one rotten kind of friend." The dentist. He remembered and felt ashamed. He'd forgotten all about Tommy. But the shame was quickly pushed aside by his annoyance at being told off by Glory. "You belt up," he said. "It's none of your business." "You went off with Salam, didn't you? So where did you go?" "You know so much, Charlotte. Figure it out for yourself." With that, he left her, heading for the kitchen. He suddenly realised how hungry he was. His mother had made soup, thick, luscious lentil soup, and there was crusty bread on the table. He was just about to tuck into a steaming bowl of it when his father came into the kitchen and completely ruined his appetite. "Ah, there you are, son," he said, rubbing his hands together. "Not get fed well enough at Tommy's. But then, who can resist your mother's lentil soup?" Kevin had just taken the first mouthful. His dad continued, "So are you coming with us on Saturday?" Saturday? So much had happened to him, he had completely forgotten the horror that was to befall them on Saturday, line dancing in the shopping mall. "You're not serious. Tell me you're not serious." "Very serious, son. El Diablo and Honey Sue are dancing for the local children's hospital. A very worthy cause." "Could you not do something less embarrassing?" Kevin suggested. "Like running naked through the town centre?" His father laughed heartily. "I knew you'd see the funny side eventually. You know what I always say? Laughter is the best medicine." "Well, could you not do a bit of stand-up comedy instead then?" His dad ignored that. "Line dancing's great fun, Kevin. You should try it." "I'd rather stick needles up my nose," he said seriously. Glory came into the kitchen and sat across for him as their dad left. "I'm going to die of embarrassment, Kevin," she said. "Maybe we could emigrate before Saturday." Their mother came into the kitchen just then. "No, you'll be there, both of you. Give your dad and me some moral support. After all," she added wickedly, "we went to all the embarrassing events at your school. Remember, Glory, the time your knickers fell down at the Christmas concert?" Glory's face went bright red. "Mum, you promised you'd never mention that again." Kevin roared with laughter. He'd been there too. It had been a great night. His mum pointed an accusing finger at him. "And don't you forget the time you wet yourself at the nativity play and you playing Joseph too." "Mum," he yelled, "I was only six. You're allowed to wet yourself when you're only six." "Yes, dear," she said with a smirk, "but not all over baby Jesus's crib." "So," she continued as if she'd made her point, "I'm sure we're not going to embarrass you half as much as that." Just then, his dad appeared at the kitchen door. He was dressed in his full El Diablo outfit. He looked like an extra from a third-rate cowboy film. "Come along, honey, soon. A dress rehearsal for me and you." They both laughed and danced out of the kitchen. Kevin looked at Glory. Her face was still bright red. They were both thinking the same thing. Saturday was definitely going to be the most embarrassing day of their lives.